My dear family of God, last week in the readings, we had the privilege at the Lord's invitation to reflect our calling to extend mercy to all of humanity through compassionate and loving service. Today, in our readings, the Lord invites us to reflect at a deeper level our generous service to God Himself as we welcome and serve even strangers. And also to recall to mind the attending blessings of our hospitality to God in serving strangers. Beloved in Christ, this comes to us in the context of divine visitation and our human response of hospitality that draws us closer into an intimate relationship with God, to understand His purpose and to receive the grace to participate in His work of redemption. Beloved in Christ, in the first reading today, God appearing as a traveler comes to the tent of Abraham and Sarah to reaffirm His promise of a son to Abraham, a promise that had already been given in chapter 15, verses 4, and chapter 17, verses 19 of the same book of Genesis, that indeed the son of his own blood shall become his heir and not Ishmael or Eliezer. To bring to fulfillment this promise, the God of covenant comes to reaffirm His promise to His servant Abraham. Abraham, on his part, welcomes God and His companions as an eager and attentive host, doing everything possible for their comfort. My dear people of God, Abraham's eagerness to serve God, giving him food, bringing him water, and granting him rest, is a model as to how we should also receive divine visitations. When we openly and with that interior disposition welcome strangers, we indeed welcome God Himself. And to this, St. Paul writes in his letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 2, that in doing thus, many saved strangers without knowing that they were serving God Himself. Beloved, in the gospel reading today, Jesus Christ visits the two sisters of Lazarus, Martha and Mary. Once Martha was preoccupied with hospitality, Mary gave her full attention to the guests. Sitting at the feet of the Lord, listening to His teachings, and learning from him. Mary's quiet devotion displayed a greater reverence to their guests than Martha's anxious toil. Mary, indeed, exemplifies a contemplative life, assuming the disposition of a disciple, a student who sits at the feet of the rabbi, of the master, of the teacher, to receive instructions. Jesus gives to Mary the mysteries of the kingdom, preparing her for a mission, and also affirming that a call to discipleship is not exclusively given to only men, as it was in the social class context of the Jewish people, where a woman could not become a disciple of a rabbi, sitting at the feet of the rabbi for instruction, but only the men. Jesus comes to visit the house of Martha and Mary to inaugurate a new age of divine grace, where women together with men will have equal share in his call to discipleship, an equal share to receiving the mysteries of God's kingdom. And so today Jesus explains and instructs Mary on the mysteries of the kingdom. To Martha, such was a lazy lout. But in the eyes of Jesus, it was the most important thing. Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things and you worry yourself. There is only one thing which is of great importance, and that's what Mary has chosen. Beloved in Christ, Jesus was not despising Martha for her act of hospitality, but to raise her to the consciousness that she, though a woman, has a share in discipleship and has a share in the mysteries of the kingdom. And that generous serving and acts of hospitality should not separate anyone from receiving the mysteries of God's kingdom. The two of them should go hand in hand. Beloved in Christ, in the spirit of Martha and Mary, all of us, we serve God in different capacities. Many of us are reflective and contemplative, but some others, they are also spontaneous. In whatever capacity that you find yourself in serving God, the most important thing is your interior disposition in doing that, without grumbling and without despising and rejecting the other Pharaoh. That was the problem with Martha. She wants to be content with her office of preparing food to serve her guests, whilst Mary also granted audience to the guests. All of us have been praised in different capacities. God has endowed us with different gifts and charisms. In the exercising of our various gifts and charisms, we are not to do so to despise others as if they do not matter. But all of us, with the true spirit of God, we exercise our charisms to complement one another as we engage in Christ's mission and ministry. My dear people of God, today Jesus invites us to a deeper meaning of act of hospitality. Every divine visitation evokes our human sense of hospitality as a means of welcoming the presence of God and his purpose, so as to participate in his work of redemption. And so the work of hospitality is not just a mere social custom or a physical act of generosity. It goes beyond that. It is a spiritual act, a means by which we welcome God and his presence into our lives. And not just that, but also predisposing ourselves to receive his purpose and his divine grace to participate in his work of redemption. And several instances are given in the Holy Scriptures. The obvious one that comes to mind is when the angel Gabriel visited the Blessed Virgin Mary, with her interior spirit giving her fiat and her assent. Mary, in humble submission of her will to the will of the divine, said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word." We welcome God's visit to us with that spirit of receiving his grace in order to participate in his divine purpose and will for the redemption of the world. My dear family of God, for us Catholic Christians, in our time, the greatest experience of divine visitation we have happens in the context of the celebration of the Holy Mass. At the two tables of God's word and sacrament, God descends in his presence to visit us. And so Mother Church always encourages and exhorts her children to participate fully, actively, and consciously in the Holy Mass. For it is a moment of divine visitation. God coming to visit his people, to bless and give them his divine grace. And so when we come with a true disposition, participating in the Mass, beloved in Christ, no one leaves the sacrifice of Christ and go back the same. But you leave the presence of God filled with his divine presence, filled with his divine grace. And therefore, we are being exhorted to have that interior disposition in welcoming Christ into our life. Through our works of hospitality, when we truly receive God's presence in our lives, my dear people of God, whatever we do in liturgical context becomes a means of receiving the presence of God, receiving his divine purpose and will, and participating in his divine work of redemption. And that is the call that God has extended to all of us. And so when we come to church, be it in our act of singing, be it in our act of clapping, be it in our act of offering gift or money for the upkeep of the church, we should do so with just one spirit and one mind, that I'm doing this to welcome the divine presence into my life. And when God is truly present in your life, you do not do any generous work with the mind of the world, but you do so with the mind of God himself. Beloved in Christ, we are being reminded, when God comes to visit us, he doesn't come because he's so hungry to be fed by us. He doesn't come because he stands in need of our help, but rather he comes because God loves to bless us. And so he comes for our own benefit. And we express and profess this in the fourth Eucharistic prayer for the weekday preface. When we say that, "Oh Lord, you have no need of our praise, yet our thanksgiving is itself your gift. For our thanksgiving add nothing to your greatness, but profit us for salvation." Whenever God visits, he visits for the good of his children. May we truly dispose ourselves on his divine visitation in the celebration of the Holy Mass as the Lord meets us at the two tables of his word and sacrament, that being refreshed, you go forth to participate in his redemptive work as a disciple who had been at the feet of the Master to receive the mysteries of his kingdom. May he bless us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.